We have discussed this in the first chapter. We are going to quickly reiterate to develop better understanding. We know that there are two types of sources, internal and external. And from the point of view of the employee, it provides flexibility and greater control over the career progress. So ideally, if there is a particular employee who is being looked at, if it's an internal process, then probably there are chances of getting better through transfers, or probably getting called back, or probably looking at referrals from the employer. It should result in better matches of the employee and the job. So whether an internal process is the one which creates a better match or the external process depends upon situations and discretion of the recruitment professional. Well, we've discussed this, but nevertheless, let us move on. We can learn a few more details about internal sources. We've seen promotions, transfers, referrals, and employee referrals, job posting, re-employment of ex-employees or former employees, dependence of deceased employees, recalls. So these are being discussed in the subsequent slides. We are going to discuss in depth what these are and how these help the recruitment professionals. Well, here we are going to look at certain internal sources. We've already discussed them. So now we are just going to enlist them. And certain sources have not been discussed. Those we will discuss in detail. So things like promotions, transfers, referrals, and job postings have already been discussed as a part of sources of recruitment in the first chapter. What requires a mention is the dependence of deceased employees. Certain places like government offices or banks provide services for descendants of deceased employees, like a father passing away, so the son takes the place or the daughter takes the place of that employee in the bank or in government services. So this is a way to motivate people. This is a way to provide incentive for the service of that particular employee who has deceased, so that his family gets stability and security through the means of a job. Recalls, some of the managers who've probably gone on a leave, if there is an emergency situation, they can be recalled to the job and to execute the project. And post this particular emergency, they probably can be again sent on a leave. So we've already discussed this. We'll move ahead now. Well, now with the help of this particular diagram, we are going to look at the advantages or the merits of internal recruitment sources. As we all know, there are certain pros and cons associated to both hiring external candidates and promoting from within the existing talent pool of your organization. We've been made aware of these points through discussions which we've done in the previous chapters, as well as some discussions which have happened in this particular chapter. So external recruitment often drives innovation, while internal recruitment is often the less risky option. Before you place your next job board ad, consider the benefits of offering a promotion to one of your current employees. There are certain dynamics that are involved in doing so. There are certain advantages that are doing, involved in doing so. We've discussed some before, but nevertheless, we are going to discuss in more detail here. The very first is the reduced recruiting costs, as you can see here. The reason being, you do not need to do anything extra. You do not need to find a recruitment agency or probably contact your favorite recruitment agency. You also do not need to place a newspaper or a television ad for recruiting people, or to get in touch with a labor contractor. The next thing is there is a reduced training time. The prime reason behind this is the person whom you've promoted already knows about the technology that works well for the company, already knows the current practices of a company, already is aware about the culture of the company. There is no requirement to train such a person. He has already got the relevant experience of these things, and hence there is absolutely no requirement for a training session. The next point is a reduced risk. Some people might be technically and behaviorally competent. That is, they might be skill-wise, they might be competent, but if there is a lack of congruence, a lack of connection between the culture of your company and the culture of or the ethics followed by the individual, there might be a risk of the person underperforming or probably leaving prematurely. So this is an evident risk when it comes to externally recruited people, because you don't know what culture or what ethics, what set of ethics does the person come with. But this is definitely not the case in the case of an internally promoted person or a transferred person. There is definitely a reduced risk there. The most important point, which is of, you know, which is a pro for your employee, is it increases their morale. So the morale is increased in a sense that if they get promotion, there is an increased chance of them getting a better pay package than what was earlier, probably getting better responsibilities. So all this leads to increased employee morale. They feel that they are doing the company a great service for which they have been rewarded. So there are definitely a lot of advantages to this type of recruitment. Let's move on. There are certain limitations as well, as we've mentioned in the previous slide about the pros and cons. We just made a mention of the pros there. There are certain demerits or limitations of using internal sources of recruitment as well. Of course, if you want recruitment to be a wholesome process, a process which is rewarding, a process which is actually in lines with what your company mission is, then you need to also consider the limitations or the demerits of using this kind of a source of recruitment. What it does is it prevents new blood from entering the organization. Extremely important to understand that times we require the infusion of creativity, infusion of new ideas, and definitely if we only work through or improve or try to increase the strength through internal recruiting, new blood is never going to come into the company. New blood, actually what it does is it brings innovative ideas, conflicting ideas, creativity, a fresh, an infusion of fresh thinking and dynamism into the organization. Now, as we know, people, these times are times of dynamic change. Globalization already has existed since the last two decades. Things are evolving. Evolution is seen in all fields, in all technologies. There's a constant change. Hence, there is a good requirement for fresh thoughts, dynamic ideas. Hence, these are missed out if there is an internal recruitment preferred. It also has a limited scope because it is not possible to fill up all types of vacancies from within the organization. Let us say, let's work with an example here. Let us say if a manufacturing company requires the position of a general manager, and there are several operations managers who, you know, are looked upon for this particular position, but then they do not have the relevant experience of managing several sub-departments, managing several sub-processes, then in that case, they cannot be promoted. Otherwise, once promoted, they would not do justice to the role. They would not be able to work with the same amount of efficiency, produce the same results as would be produced by a tenured general manager in some other organization who's seen the pros and cons of this particular position and who can leverage the power of this position as well as take responsibility, take onus for any unprecedented events. The position of the person who is promoted or transferred will be vacant. So it will, you can say, trigger a chain reaction where you would need to promote at several levels or several positions, because one position once filled, the position who's been filled, you know, that position will be, of course, that position will get filled, but person moving out of the current position, that position will become vacant. So either you would need to fill that position, or probably the other people would need to chip in to finish tasks which were allotted to that person or the position. There may be a certain sense of bias or partiality in promoting or transferring persons from within the organization. This has been encountered with many organizations who have the practice of using internal sources of recruitment. The reason being, people who know HR or recruitment department people, they might have a chance to influence or create a bias so as to ensure that they are promoted. And of course, as a result, those who are not promoted will definitely be not happy about it. They will definitely be unhappy. The right person may be promoted or transferred only if proper confidential reports of all employees are maintained. This involves a lot of time, money and energy. Of course, people who have not been promoted, they need to be appeased. They need to be provided with the reasons why this has happened. And again, it will result in a loss of time and money. Hence, these are some of the prime limitations or the demerits of using internal sources of recruitment. Let's move on to the next slide. The external sources of recruitment are enlisted here. We've in fact done a detailed discussion throughout the first and the second chapter on these, but let us nevertheless take a look at these. We've enlisted them here, and from the next slide we shall look at each of them. Some of them have also not been covered, so we'll look at those as well. We've got things like employment at the factory level. We've got recruitment through advertisements. There are employment exchanges, which actually take up applications, and once positions open, they contact the incumbents, and then the persons can actually go and fill those positions. There are employment agencies similar to the employment exchanges. Here, they might be private in nature. Employment exchanges might be a government concept. Is a government concept, in fact. Through recommendations, this is an age-old way. If you know a person, you can recommend the person for a particular post in your company. Labor contractors, walk-ins, write-ins and talk-ins, consultants and headhunters. So in a brief manner, we are going to discuss all of these in the following slides. Well, in the last slide, we had enlisted a long list, an exhaustive list of external sources of recruitment. The first being employment at the factory level, a very simplistic model or a very simplistic source of external recruitment, in which applications for vacancies are presented on the bulletin boards outside the factory. And this is generally for casual workers, where the workers can see this particular type of application and join for a casual labor job or for a daily work job. Employment exchanges have been set up all up, over the country. These are primarily government enterprises wherein people send applications for any employment. Most of the employment comes from the government sector here. The major functions of the exchanges are to increase the pool of possible applicants and to do the preliminary screening. So the basic screening on the basis of the resume is done here. And then if any employment opportunities come by from the government sector mostly and any private sectors, the people are called and the next round of screening is done. Educational institutions and the campus recruitments, these are quite common when you need to infuse fresh blood, when you need to recruit new people or new delegates, then these types of measures are used. Primarily used for colleges, universities, research laboratories, sports fields and institutes. These are the fertile grounds for recruiters, particularly the institutes. So if you've noticed many a times, in the colleges or probably even in Wellington Institute, there are recruitments which are happening. The HR or the recruitment professionals from various notable industries, various notable companies come. They interview people, they understand the mentality of the person, they administer various tests and they select people from the campus. Such a selection is known as the campus or the educational institute kind of recruitment. And not being a part of the company, hence it's categorized under the external sources of recruitment. Let's move on now to the next one, which is quite common and popular. It is the advertisements which are sent through the print media, that is either the newspapers, local or national, depending upon the urgency, depending upon the importance. Times, if you've seen Times Ascent, a paper which has a Wednesday publication in the week, that's an important newspaper related to the jobs. There are different newspapers which have different sections. Then you've got advertisements which come up in certain magazines, most probably magazines which relate to economics or technology. You also have advertisements in the television, like if you've seen advertisements of Tiger Woods advertising for Accenture, or our own people advertising for any particular company like Wipro or Infosys. So there are these television advertisements. Nowadays, a growing trend of advertising on the private radio channels has also grown. So these are the advertisements. They have a massive reach. They have a good amount of reach, because if it's a national newspaper, then it will have its circulation done in the major cities in India, or probably if it's a national newspaper outside, in the cities of that particular country. So it's got a wide reach. Let's move on to the next mode, which is the consultants. We have discussed this in a previous chapter. They are in profession of recruiting and selecting managerial and executive personnel. Now, these personnel are different from the laborers which are contracted for a short duration, or the college students. Here, there's a lot of introspection, a lot of research gone in selecting for managerial and executive positions. Positions like the CEO of a company, or the CEO or a CFO, require a lot of research, require a senior person to understand and liaise with the recruitment department, to give the recruitment department necessary inputs, to have references based on the CEOs or CFOs, an approach to those people, because they will not entertain mid-level recruiters, but they will entertain people who they know. Thus, these people come into picture. One more reason why they do so is because they keep prospective employers and employee anonymous. Imagine a CEO of a company planning a move from one company to the other. The kind of impact that is going to have on the current organization, as well as on the organization that he or she will join. If a operations manager, if an operations manager or a sales manager or an associate in finance moves, there will not be much impact. But if a CEO of a company or a COO of a company moves out from the company, there will definitely be a difference in the price of the shares, a dent in the management. They will have to look for succession. So these moves are very few in number, and they are definitely kept as anonymous. Anonymous meaning they are not brought out in the public. They are slowly, eventually, if the person joins, only then it is made public. So a lot of care needs to be exercised in this kind of a recruitment. The next source of recruitment externally is the headhunters. They are useful in specialized and skilled candidate working in a particular company. As the name goes, it's called as headhunting. You're hunting for heads. Let us say a sales company requires 8 sales regional office managers. Let us say a sales company, which is a Mumbai based company, requires a movement, is moving out, and requires sales managers in Pune, in Nasik, let us say in Nanded, in Aurangabad, in Kolhapur, in Solapur. So these regional or these ROs require to possess a specific skill set. They need to have done specific years of experience in sales. They need to handle specific teams. So since these positions are so specialized and they require skilled candidates, hence headhunters come into play, who actually poach people having similar experience from other companies. So that's the reason why they are called as headhunters. Basically, an agent is sent to represent the recruiting company, and offer is made to the candidate. So the heads or the people who are experts are actually poached with a promise or an incentive to get a better salary package or a better position. Let's move on. Competitors, again, like headhunters, this is known as poaching or raiding, which involves identifying the right people in rival companies, offering them better terms and luring them away. So if your organization wants to be ahead of the competition, they need to take some people from the competition, get some people on board to improve the performance. Now, an important point to be kept in mind when you are working on this particular source is, have those people really made an impact? Have they been instrumental in improving and enhancing the performance of the company? All these factors need to be considered when people need to be poached as this particular method, or they need to be moved out or raided from other companies and put into your particular company. So it's extremely quintessential, it's extremely important to understand this particular context and then start with this particular or take this particular measure. Now we come to the merits of external sources and the demerits. Let us look at the merits first. The organization will have the benefit of new skills, new talents, and new experiences if the people are hired from external sources. Definitely, this we have discussed in the previous slides extensively. So, we are just going to read these out. And there's a scope for resentment, heartburn, and jealousy, which can be avoided by recruiting from outside. So, if a colleague of yours gets promoted to a particular position, there might be some jealousy element in you as to why I have not been promoted. But if the promotion is, you know, the place is filled from outside, not requiring a promotion, then people are more content. Along with the merits, also there are certain demerits that external sources have, such as better motivation and increased morale associated with providing own employees are lost to the organization. So if people are looking forward, let us say a person has worked 5 years in a company at the same position, and after a period of 5 years is looking forward to a promotion. But what happens? Instead of him or her getting promoted, a person from outside is made the boss of the department. So there is definitely a loss of morale. External recruitment is costly. It involves, as you've seen in the past in few slides, probably the use of newspapers, the use of management consultants, the use of headhunters, the use of poaching mechanisms, the promise of paying much more than what you would have paid in a promotion event. And of course, high training time is associated. Now, this person might know the industry practices, but any legacy systems in your company, in your organization, any cultural differences, these need to be bridged. So definitely there is time in training and development which is spent on an external person who is recruited. So in this slide, friends, quick reiteration, we've looked at the merits and the demerits of the external sources of recruitment. Well, friends, with this we complete the third chapter. In this particular chapter, we've seen in detail the various sources of recruitment. We've also looked at the pros and cons, that is the benefits or the merits and demerits of two important types of recruitment, the external as well as the internal recruitment. Thank you.